The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, the HSE is enlisting the help of social media influencers to help combat the rise of vaping amongst teenagers. One in five people under the age of 18 use vapes, and this new campaign aims to inform them about the impact it has on mental, physical and oral health. Dr. Paul Kavanagh is advisor to the HSE Tobacco Free Ireland programme. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks, Claire, how are you? Thanks for being with us. Now, there is a ban on the sale of vapes to under 18s, but you and the HSE, you are worried about the increase in the number of teenagers using them. So are we concluding from that the ban hasn't really worked?
Well, I think it's important for us to recognise that the ban was just put in place in the last year or two. So that is a measure that was contained within the Tobacco and Nicotine Inhaling Product Act, which was enacted late in 2023 and it's just coming into force. So I think we would usually expect a couple of years before we would start to see a measure like that turn the tide in terms of the increasing use of e-cigarettes across children and young people. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there has been an increase, but in terms of tackling that, what we need is a multifaceted, coordinated response. The legislation, the first step of which you've called out there, which is the age restriction, is a very important foundation. But absolutely, Claire, we need to build on that. And that's what the HSE is doing today in terms of launching the second strand in our campaign to prevent vaping across children and young people. So that campaign has two strands to it. The first strand we launched in 2025, which was called Take a Deep Breath. And that was a campaign that was aimed at parents, teachers, sports coaches, adults that work and build the environment for our children and young people. That was a campaign that was across radio and print, social media, there were podcasts. And it's very much about recognising that those adults, they're very important in terms of the environment for children and young people. And they're a trusted source in terms of information around health, particularly around vaping. That's what our research told us. Which is why that was the first strand we put out there.
But
and
now
we're building
you've
on that today.
So you've moved on now, and now we're coming to social media, the creators.
Exactly. So we're building on that strand. We put that foundation in place, and we're building on that first strand with our second strand that we're launching today. So this is a social media campaign that is particularly aimed at children and young people, and it has a number of elements to it. So there are a number of expert-led truth or fact-based content, which is all speaking about the harms of smoking and the industry tricks to try and lure children and young people into vaping. And then we're working with social media influencers and content creators. This is the first time that the HSE has taken this sort of step. And I suppose, Claire, it's very much around recognising that the media landscape and how children and young people work with the media landscape has transformed in the last kind of 10, 15 mm-hmm. years. And we expect that this campaign will be very effective, building on the legislation, as you say. But I think it's important to recognise further measures are needed, and there's definitely more room in terms of further legislation.
And we'll talk about that.
So,
this is the first time the HSE has paid social media creators to do something like this. But you feel this is the way you have to go to reach the audience that you need to reach, right?
Absolutely, Claire. So this is a step forward for the HSE working in this way. But as I said, it really recognises the transformed media landscape that we're dealing with now and the way that our children and young people interact with that. All of the work that the HSE does in terms of public communication when it comes to health is all evidence-based. So we do a huge amount of preparatory work in terms of focus groups and surveys with people that we're trying to reach. So, the design of the campaign, in particular, the use of social media, the use of parents and adults around children and young people, the use of social media, these are tactics that we would have heard from children and young people as being the sort of tactics that they thought would reach them and that they would trust and that they would take advice from. So, we're really hopeful this campaign will be effective.
I'm going back a long way now, but in the 1980s, Nancy Reagan had the Just Say No campaign where they employed young actors. I think there were some people from Biker Grove actually flown over from the UK to Washington to promote the anti-drugs message. And it didn't work then. Just Say No didn't work at that point. What tells you that this is going to work if you're paying people to tell teenagers not to do something, that message is going to get through?
Yeah, so I think, Claire, firstly, I would emphasize again that the campaign is based on research that we've done with children and young people. It's also based on desktop research that we've done, looking at similar campaigns in other jurisdictions and what's been effective and what's not been effective. But I think it comes back to the point that you made well yourself, Claire, at the start of our discussion, which is, you know, this is a big, complex problem. It's one of the big public health challenges that we face at the moment. And I think a single measure, like, for example, a social media campaign, while we're very positive about this and we will expect it'll have an impact, but in terms of turning the tide around rising use of e-cigarettes across children and young people, really a multifaceted, coordinated response is required. And this is where the policy measures, the legislation that you touched on, comes into play. So I think, as I said, you know, we have an age restriction in place now. So it's illegal to sell children and young people e-cigarettes since late 2023. That's very important. We need to build on that. So the next legislative measure that I'd call out, Claire, is the ban on single-use vapes. Myself, I think that's going to be an absolute game changer. When we look at the trends in terms of increasing use of e-cigarettes by children and young people, we look at it over the last 10 years through our Healthy Ireland survey, what we'll see is that the inflection point, the rapid increase in the use of e-cigarettes happened around 2018 and 2019. And that's when the single-use vapes came onto the market. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of international research that would point to the fact that that was a very significant factor in terms of driving increases.
Well, so just on that, we had Conor Walsh in here from the Irish waste overseeing body or body that represents that industry. They have a huge problem with the single-use vapes being put into the bin and they go on fire. Completely different issue. But he was talking about the single-use vape ban. He says that the industry have already found a way around that, in that they have vapes now that you can recharge, but they're sort of disposable and they won't fall under that ban, but they're still something that you're going to go and replace every couple of weeks. Do you see those on the market?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two points in that I'd pick up, Claire. The first thing is, myself, based on the evidence, The advent of single-use vapes was an absolute game-changer in terms of the use of e-cigarettes across children and young people. We can see that in the data. And I would be very confident that the legislative measure that's been recently passed in terms of single-use vapes will be a step in the right direction. But the second point I would make is I would absolutely agree with what you've said there. The fact of the matter is there's a huge industry behind this with huge profits that they want to sustain. And that industry is constantly evolving and adapting to every measure that we put in place and trying to escape it and move on to the next measure. So this is why there's further legislation planned. So there's a second piece of tobacco and nicotine inhaling products legislation that was recently approved by government that will be on the floor of the Dáil. It includes things like point of sale advertising ban. There's measures there in terms of packaging, names, flavours. Critically as well, I mean, if we talk about the whole landscape in terms of nicotine products for children and young people, pouches are an emerging issue as well. So that legislation will tackle that for the first time. So look, Claire, I would see what you're saying there in terms of the fact that
what we're
dealing with here is complex. We've an industry that's constantly evolving. So we're going to need progressive measures here and we're going to need to watch the situation very, very carefully indeed.
Okay. Just going back to what vapes originally were for, and the industry will make this argument all of the time, that they're very useful for people who are giving up smoking. Now, do you agree with that they have a use for that purpose?
Yeah, so very familiar with that argument because I led the development of Ireland's first national stop smoking guidelines, which were published in 2022, where we examined this very question. And we did that looking at all of the research evidence at the time. We felt at that time that we looked at the evidence didn't stack up. So at the moment in Ireland, we don't recommend e-cigarettes as a way for somebody to stop smoking. Instead, we signpost people to supports that we know are safe and effective and work. So that would include nicotine replacement therapy that's available now free of charge through the HSE. It would include stop smoking care by way of behavioural support as well. But I suppose, Claire, I really want to pick up on something that you said there in terms of, you know, the messages that the industry uses. I mean, look, we're very familiar with this industry. Like, look at the work that it did over decades in terms of propagating the epidemic of tobacco harm. And it did all that through very, very cynical promotion of its products, misinformation and creating confusion. That same industry now is behind the nicotine product that we see and that we're trying to tackle today. And they're using the exact same playbook. So this sort of misinformation and confusion around, well, actually, are e-cigarettes a health product? I mean, that's what we would expect from this industry. And I would say, Claire, if somebody that manufactures an e-cigarette believes that they have a health product that can help somebody to stop smoking, they can bring that forward to our health products regulatory agency here in Ireland, have it assessed, and market it as a stop smoking device. But they have not done that, Claire. So I think for me, that speaks to the hollow nature of those messages.
Okay. And when I have covered this in the past, when I ask what the harms are of vaping, the answer you will get is that we don't have the timeline yet to see what the harms are. Is that changing? Do we have evidence now that vaping harms people, in particular young people?
Without a doubt, you know, we know that nicotine, which is the key element of concern within an e-cigarette, that's very harmful in terms of the developing adolescent brain. So we know that it leads to addiction. We know that there are issues there in terms of impact on mood, anxiety and sleep. I mean, mental health is something over the last 10 or 15 years has been a huge focus on for children and young people. So we know that e-cigarettes are negatively impacting young people's mental health. Issues there in terms of concentration and impulse control. In terms of effects on the body, for a young person that has asthma, this is going to trigger asthma attacks. There's evidence in terms of impacts on the cardiovascular system. Impacts on the mouth as well. I mean, one of the experts that we have speaking in the content that we're launching today includes somebody from the oral health discipline who's speaking about the effects on oral health as well. But critically as well, Claire, the main concern we have, and this is corroborated by a health research board study, is that children and young people who start using e-cigarettes, who don't smoke, are 3 to 5 times more likely to start smoking than those people that don't. I mean, that's really the core concern here. And that's why I think we really need to make sure that in addition to focusing on e-cigarettes, which is what we're talking about today, we continue our efforts in terms of tackling smoking. So it's very positive. There, our government recently passed a Tobacco 21 law, increasing the age below which it's illegal to sell some of the tobacco products to 21. But I'm very interested in the developments that are happening in the UK at the moment. The government there are looking at a tobacco-free generation. I mean, if you think about this problem, I think if you ask anybody who smoked, the very thing that they would want to ensure is that we're not passing this problem on to our next generation. So I think while it's very important and very welcome today that we're focusing in around e-cigarettes, we also need to keep our eye on the problem in terms of smoking, and that's something that we need to bring to an end.
I'm listening to you. Every word that you're saying is making sense. But I will leave here today and I will see ads for all sorts of nicotine products, not just the vapes, but these other things that you've mentioned, the pouches that people store in their mouths. They seem to be increasing in prevalence. So it feels like you're fighting against a rising tide. I wonder whether just a complete ban on this sort of stuff is what we need.
Well, look, Claire, you know, as I said already, we have to remember there's a huge industry behind this, huge profits to be made and to be sustained. The tobacco industry is behind all of this. You know, when a snake sheds its skin, it's still a snake and it'll shed its skin again. And I think that's what we're seeing here. The issue is complex and it's evolving. We had smoked tobacco, we've e-cigarettes, we've emerging nicotine products like pouches. You know, there's stuff on the horizon in terms of nicotine-containing sweets, for example. And I do think as a country, we need to have a discussion around nicotine. And I think insofar as it's very welcome that the next piece of tobacco legislation, tobacco nicotine legislation our government is bringing forward, includes a ban on pouches. I think actually what we need is a discussion and a piece of legislation that is future-proofed and gives the country the toolkit that it needs to get on top of a problem that is constantly going to evolve and evolve so that we are one step ahead of the industry.
Okay, Paul, thank you very much for talking to us. That's Dr. Paul Kavanagh, HSE consultant in public health medicine and advisor to the HSE Tobacco Free Ireland programs.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.